Good morning, EAA. Mel, what do you think?
I think it's a nice way to wake up and start the morning, you know?
This is so exciting for me. Magneto Mel and I decided to team up this year and bring you some very interesting guests. And we're here at 1210 AM, 96.5 FM, and EAARadio.net, if you're on the internet. And we have here with us some very interesting guys from Air Traffic Control today, Mel.
Yeah, we're bringing in the push-to-talk segment, if people have been listening in, with our National Air Traffic Controllers Association. And we've got Steve Hansen, who's the safety chair, and Christian Carnes, is that right, with the Atlanta Center. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
Doing well.
Great day.
Excellent. So, Christian, I hear there's some changes coming up in Atlanta. That's down in my neck of the woods. I cross the Atlanta Center territory all the time in my airplane. You want to talk a little bit about some of the enhancements that are coming?
We're currently in the design process of redesigning all the four arrivals on the four corner gates into Atlanta Airport and utilizing the optimum profile descent to increase fuel cost savings and emission savings for the airlines and also for the private users.
Does this have to do with the whole next gen program and the effort that the airlines and the FAA have with saving fuel?
It is. It is a one of the processes to set them up to start that process going. Decommissioning most of the VORs and different things are trying to limit those, and most things are going to be done on waypoints, which will be the next gen.
Now, a lot of our the listeners and people on the grounds in general aviation don't necessarily deal with the centers as much as, I guess, the approach, departures, and towers. Can you talk a little bit about how that has been organized and what the changes are going from and to?
We're starting just redesigning the whole arrivals and the departures coming out, how we will feed Atlanta approach and how Atlanta approach will feed us the aircraft coming out. They're trying to get more volume to come out by adding more gates and giving more direct routing so that we can. And then on the arrival process, just setting them up and having more catch points to bring in the aircraft at a higher altitude, giving them more airspace to allow them to just come in at throttles back from top of descent and come all the way into Atlanta approach.
Has the ADS-B project and the reduced vertical minimum separation project helped you in order to increase traffic along those gates?
Tremendously, tremendous amount of help. We look back when we're working, especially with the new trainees that we have come in, the developmentals that we train, and we explain to them how this used to be with 2,000 feet of separation. And they look at it and they said, well, how did you even possibly get this many airplanes in this airspace with all those separations? But the reduced vertical separation was a tremendous amount of help in allowing us to increase our workload.
The volume. You can, yeah. And then, and how does that factor into to your role as safety chair with the reduced separations and increasing the amount of planes in the airspace?
Well, it's certainly something that we watch and make sure that we pay attention to and just see how everything is implemented. I mean, RVSM has been implemented for quite a while now, so it is well established, and it did give us the ability to put a lot more airplanes into the higher stratums. ADS-B, as it's rolled out in different places across the country, will start to allow everybody to start utilizing that service and getting the different information that has to provide, and maybe fill in some of those gaps where we never had the ability to provide radar services before.
How about increasing the saturation a little bit more down low?
Yeah, I was going to say, for those of us that don't get much over 9,000 feet.
I mean, there's all the next-gen talk about reducing separation in the en route environment. It all comes down to our ability to put aircraft on the pavement. So right now, we have the separation minimum that we have, and we still have miles and trail. So until we increase the ability or put lay more pavement, do whatever we need to do to allow an acceptance rate at the airports to be higher, the reduced separation, I'm not sure, is going to provide much benefit to the users.
Steve, what about the benefit of tracking aircraft in the taxi mode? I noticed I was down in Opa-locka, which is down by Miami, and the ADS-B was receptive on the ground, and you could actually see people taxiing.
So it's that is a very, we have ASDX at some of the bigger airports, right? So you can see the airplanes moving around. It is a very good piece of equipment. We can see where the vehicles are equipped. It allows you to see the vehicles so you can make sure they're clear of the runways. It provides alerts to the controllers when somebody's encroaching upon the safety areas. There's also something, and I'm not sure it's going to be deployed widespread, but a low-cost ground surveillance, which at some of the mid-level airports you would see that implemented, but I'm not sure how wide that will be deployed. So,
do you believe that it's going to reduce the runway incursion rate?
I think it will certainly help, and I do believe that it will reduce it. ADS-B, as it's rolled out across the country, I think both aircraft and vehicles need to be equipped with that so that the controllers and everybody can see each other. I mean, that's the benefit of ADS-B, is you can have the display in the cockpit where you can see everybody. So,
are there any complementary projects for expanding some of the airfields? You said you need put more planes on the pavement. Are we going to be putting down more?
I think there's a few projects. I can't sit and name them off the top of my head, but there's certainly some in the works.
But from your point of view, it's critical that we get some more pavement there to actually get those aircraft on the ground and back off the ground faster.
In order to realize the benefits of ADS-B and the reduced separation and putting more airplanes in the sky, absolutely. I mean, you have to allow the airports to accept more airplanes before. I mean, we don't want a bunch of airplanes holding at every airport.
We can't have vertical separation on the ground.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It'd be interesting, though, wouldn't you think?
It'd be good to have it.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me a little bit about a day in the life of a controller, Christian.
A day in the life controller? Well, I get up and with a smile on my face, I go into work. I show up and check out the weather, see what's going on around me, look at the time of the day when there's pushes coming, and I just get my headset, plug in, and either assist some controllers or relieve a controller on break, and then start to talk to the airplanes, which I enjoy most to do.
And how long have you been doing this?
12 years.
12 years
this July.
So you've been through some of the changes from the paper slips to the...
Correct.
And how has that impacted down there?
It has reduced my workload tremendously and made it a much more enjoyable experience on the scopes, using the computers and everything, and things a lot quicker.
In the old school, a lot of people are able to come up on board and grab on to the new systems.
Yeah, a little hesitation at first, but once they got used to it, they was like, how did we ever do this without this?
Yeah.
Is kind of the mentality of it. Change is good so far.
Change is good. Speaking of change, you've seen a lot of people, new people coming in. You're actually one of the more senior controllers in the system right now.
Correct. And I've done quite a bit of training on the new developmentals that are coming in. And it's very interesting seeing the different backgrounds. Most of them are educated, highly educated, coming from some great schools. And they come in already with a little bit of background of aviation. It's not as much as it was before, my understanding. Most people came right off the street with no knowledge and was trained basically through it. So we're getting a much higher quality of product. Maybe not a better, maybe I don't want to say a better product to insult anybody, but it seems to be the quality coming in is better.
And these folks have never known it other than, you know, with the current systems and your
correct,
screen.
Yeah.
So
they don't know the old ways. They don't know the...
Do you regale them
the
with stories?
2,000 feet separation.
Oh, I started, we...
We laugh at them and they say, oh, this is busy. I'm like, you ain't seen nothing.
That's okay. I haven't gotten a cruise clearance in years and I asked for one and the guy went, huh?
Stand by and
You're going to ask.
They're going to ask one of the senior ones, make sure I do this right. How do I give this?
That is very, very true. And I've had a couple of times where I've noticed that the controller really didn't understand what the airplane could do. And that's a critical relationship between the air traffic controller and the pilot. Steve, certainly from a safety aspect, the controller's got to respond to what the pilot knows.
Oh, it's absolutely important. That's one of the biggest disconnects, if you will, that we see out in the system. What can an Airbus do versus a Boeing versus a Cub versus some PA-36 or anything? I mean, it's just huge. What exactly can the aircraft do? I mean, it is critical. We have started a program within that NAC is a part of, where we share information between a couple of the airlines out there from their ASAP programs and our similar program from the controller standpoint, ADSAP, and we share different viewpoints and different events, and we learn a lot from that.
Well, now, where can we find you on the field if anybody wants to come here and and you know, check it out and further this conversation.
I wish I knew the location, but we're right across from the Nikon and the press conference area.
Not that far from the tower.
Not that far, just straight down the road from the tower. So.
And if we have our listeners on the web and they're not actually privileged to be here yet this year, then where can they contact and get a hold of some NATCA folks?
They can certainly go to our website at NATCA.com.
That's N-A-T-C-A.
NATCA.com. And we're there. Come over to our booth. We're happy we have controllers from all over the country over there. So.
Great. Fantastic.
We actually have a runway set up from this main road right here. That if you find the runway.
Do you give us sequence and separation?
Yes,
if you ask.
Yeah. Excellent. Steve Hansen and Christian Carnes, thank you very much for taking the time to be in with us today with Around the Pack.